And now, the topic that's been on so many minds today, last night's Super Bowl halftime performance. At the end of a highly choreographed show that featured some of the hottest stars in pop music, Justin Timberlake reached across Janet Jackson's chest, grabbed part of her bustier, and exposed one of her breasts. Since then, there have been apologies. CBS, which aired the show, and MTV, which produced the halftime show, apologized for what they described as an unscripted moment. There have also been accusations. FCC Chairman Michael Powell wants an investigation into what he calls a classless, crass, and deplorable stunt. Meanwhile, an estimated 100 million people watched the show, and probably more are talking about it. We're giving you a chance to weigh in. Were you shocked by what you saw? Do you see it as a sign of creeping vulgarity in American media, or do you feel the outraged are overreacting? Is the Janet Justin incident just the new expectation for big-budget live spectacles? Give us a call at 1-800-989-TALK. And we have two guests to talk with us about it. Louis Chunkovit is a veteran journalist who covers the media. He is the author of One Foot on the Floor, The Curious Evolution of Sex on Television, from I Love Lucy to South Park. Thanks for being with us.
A pleasure, Lynn. It's Louis Chunkovit.
Chunkovit. I'm sorry. I knew I had not done that correctly.
You're not the first one.
Thanks for correcting me. And Diane Wirtz is also with us. She's a writer for Newsday. She writes about television for Newsday. She joins us by phone as well. Thanks for being with us, Diane.
Thanks, Lynn.
So, Diane, first, how serious is the reaction to this event? Are we going to be hearing about this for a long while, or is this just a flash in the pan? It's going to be over by tomorrow?
Well, probably both. I mean, the first thing I think we need to remember is that this is Janet Jackson, and if anything, she comes from a family that knows how to get attention.
Right.
You know, her brother was, at one point, we were told, sleeping in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, which was apparently something that he himself said to the tabloids. So, you know, this isn't coming out of nowhere. There's a context for it. But at the same time, of course, it is offensive to many people, and it is part of, I guess, what you termed a creeping vulgarity in the media. And it also, I think, interestingly, sort of plays into some social and cultural currents in the media right now. You know, there are a lot of conspiracy theories out about how, you know, well, CBS wanted to do this to get attention, and MTV wanted to do it, and they all knew about it, which I don't necessarily buy, because they're part of a huge corporation called Viacom, which not only owns them but three dozen television stations, and needs the FCC in its corner to hold on to those licenses and to possibly buy more stations. So the tentacles of this kind of reach into a lot of different parts of culture and politics.
Yeah. Louis Chunkovit, outrage about vulgarity on television is really nothing new. How far back does it go? I mean, I'm thinking of Elvis on Ed Sullivan, but does it go before that, or is that the first time there was really national outrage over
it? Well, no. The outrage over vulgarity on television goes back almost to the dawn of television. I'm tempted to say that the outrage preceded the advent of television. In the early days of TV, you have to remember that almost all television was live, and there was a presumption among the performers that they were being invited into people's living rooms, so they tended to dress formally, tuxedos for the men, ball gowns with plunging necklines for the women. And that was the very first controversy on television, the big plunging neckline controversy of the early 1950s. And it was way back in those live TV days that the first bare breasts would appear on live TV, too, because after all, what better way for a bright and ambitious young starlet in a low-cut gown to get a burst of shocking publicity than to, quote, accidentally, unquote, bear a breast.
Well, so is this just more of the same thing, or have we reached some new level of coarseness, I would say?
Well, all you have to do is scan around your TV channels any night of the week, and you'll see that we have reached a new level of coarseness and vulgarity. That I guess the question is, you know, what's the alternative to this? I'm not surprised that this event is getting as much attention as it did, because, after all, it's context. This was a big broadcast network, not a narrowcasting cable network that people pay to watch. And it is fodder at the beginning of an election year for every everyone who wants to make the social and cultural questions into political issues. This happens every 4 years. You remember Mr. Lieberman raised these kinds of issues 4 years ago. 4 years before that, or perhaps 8 years before that, Dan Quayle raised these kinds of issues in the presidential campaign. So it's not unexpected. It's what is unexpected is that it happened in prime time on CBS, the most staid of the networks.
Diane Wirtz, do you see this as that we've reached some new level of vulgarity on television, or is it just is it part of the what's going on in the entire context of TV right now?
Well, again, I kind of have to come down on both sides of that one. I mean, yes, I think there is a much more coarsening of it. There's a difference between doing something in an adult way and addressing an issue that makes some people nervous. All in the Family did that, NYPD Blue, The Sopranos. You can go on and on. But there's a difference between using adult language or visuals, let's say, to make a point or to show something about character and just simply to shock or to gain attention. And I think what bothers me as a critic is that the more of the latter we get, where people are just using it for the shock value, it really devalues the whole attempt to try to be more adult and to deal with issues of sexuality or language or whatever, where, you know, The Sopranos and The Shield and NYPD Blue are not the same as Janet Jackson flashing us on the Super Bowl and getting a lot of publicity.
How do you draw the line? I mean, for some people, it might be one and the same.
It might be one and the same, but I think for a larger group of people, there's a distinction, and that distinction becomes blurred when it's very easy for some of the activist groups, for instance, who count instances of profanity on television. They just count the words, just when the word comes up. They don't talk about context. They don't talk about, how it relates to character. And it's the more of sort of the coarseness of it takes over, it devalues all of it. And pretty soon there's a call just to not ever, you know, you're going to have one foot on the floor again eventually.
What about how marketing plays a role in all of this? And that is specifically marketing to young people. You know, when I mentioned Elvis on Ed Sullivan earlier, mm-hmm. When you look back, that seems it seems like a less premeditated.
That was who Elvis was. He
right.
was a guy who performed swinging his hips. That's different than Janet hanging out of her shirt.
Lynn, it also got an 80s share. And before Elvis was on Ed Sullivan, he was on Ed Sullivan's competition. Ed Sullivan at first didn't deign to put Elvis on, but when Elvis went on the low-rated competition and got terrific ratings, all of a sudden Mr. Sullivan signed him up for a three-appearance deal.
So sex sells.
We have simply
proven that one more time? Is that what you're saying?
Sex sells soap. It always has. And the advertisers on Madison Avenue have always known it. The programmers on TV have always known it. And even the cultural critics of television have always known it. In the early days of TV, two things were selling sets out of department stores. One was the wrestling genre, which was then just as choreographed and staged as it is now, and then just as now people loved it. And the other thing that was selling those sets in the early days was the opportunity for people to sit at home and look at attractive women.
We are talking about last night's antics at the halftime of the Super Bowl. If you'd like to join our discussion, the number is 989. That's 800-989-8255. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to go to Martin in Washington, D.C. Hi, Martin.
Hi. I was really disappointed at how stupid they think that we are in saying that they're sorry it was an accident. I would like the FCC to push for financial sanctions, because that's the only thing CBS and the executives that made this decision are going to really feel how we feel about having our children insulted with this. We were with a church group in downtown D.C., and we had to hide the kids' face. It was a shock, and it was an outrage, and the only way they're going to feel how that was done is if we have them pay a sanction. So I really hope the FCC is able to fine the CBS executives a bunch for this.
All right, thanks for your call. Diane Wirtz,
do you think
that's going to happen?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's going to happen, and I also disagree with the premise that this is, you know, some sort of conspiracy of executives sitting in an office and saying, well, let's show, you know, Janet Jackson's chest and we'll get ratings. I mean, it's the Super Bowl. You already have the rating. You haven't accomplished anything. The network hasn't accomplished anything by having this happen, and in fact, I think that they're injured by this. I think it's much more the performers trying to get attention. And, you know, when's the last time Janet Jackson had a top 10 record? I think that it's much more individuals. I'm not saying that she didn't have people who were involved with her choreographer, obviously, whatever. But this isn't something that I think is a grand conspiracy.
All right, let's take a call from Lily in Philadelphia. Hello, Lily?
Yes.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on Talk of the Nation.
Okay. Well, I've got to say that when I see some of these police shows and the mutilations and the horrible violent things that are happening, I'd much rather have my kids see a bare breast than some of the terrible, scary things that come on routinely on TV shows. So for me, I just don't think it was that big a deal. And it's real hard for me to believe that highly trained performers messed up like that. You know, I think that's just too far-fetched.
Okay,
that's how I feel.
Okay, thanks for your call, Lily.
Bye-bye.
She makes a point that, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but, you know, the whole world of television right now,
more graphic.
It's kind of bizarro TV sometimes if you flip around the channel between some of the very strange reality shows that are out there, very graphic television shows. Mm-hmm. It's a very strange wasteland.
and even stranger is to come down the line if what's in development is any indication.
Such as?
We ain't seen nothing yet. in Germany a few years ago, there was a very popular Big Brother type show that locked a group of fat people into a house stuffed with all kinds of high calorie treats, and the winner of the big prize at the end was the person who lost the most weight. So, you know, I mean, that could come to the United States. A lot of these formats are derived from overseas. There's one in development I just read about today. I think the title is Playing It Straight.
Right.
A woman picks among several men, including some who are secretly gay. And if she opts to marry a straight man, they share a big financial prize, $1 million or whatever it is. But if she picks the gay man pretending to be straight, he gets all the money.
All right, let's see if we can get one more call in here. Brandon in Wichita, Kansas. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm 18 and I'm young and I'm pretty liberal. I didn't necessarily think that this was an inappropriate thing to do, but it's just like most TV nowadays. It's just tacky and just tasteless.
Do you watch TV a lot, Brandon?
Of course, I'm Generation X. I was raised by TV.
So you don't have any problem with any of the stuff that's on TV right now? I mean, do you think that it's gone too far in any way?
No, I don't think that it's gone too far that it needs to be censored, because I think that's the parents' job to censor their children. I just think that there's taste, and people need to take that in consideration.
Taste, that's a good... Let's leave it there. We'll think about good taste and end it with that word and give Brandon the last word. But I want to thank my guests for joining us today also. Louis Chunovic, I hope I said that right this time.
Very good.
Is the author of One Foot on the Floor, The Curious Evolution of Sex on Television from I Love Lucy to South Park. And Diane Wirtz is a TV writer for Newsday. Thanks both of you for joining us today.
Excellent.
And here's some of the music, no visuals, from Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake's performance in the halftime show. The song is Rock Your Body. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.